Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is President and Founder of Good Fight Ministries and Pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
I'm having a beautiful day.
Amen, amen. And of course, with as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am blessed.
Well, we continue our series on the qualifications of a pastor, the unqualifications of a pastor.
Or disqualifications.
Disqualifications. Yeah. It's okay. We can make up a couple of words here. Paul did that sometimes. But nonetheless, this is a really, really important topic because as we're talking here, we're going to be playing one more clip by, if you guys have been listening to the other teachings, we've been talking a lot about Joel Osteen and some of the teachings he has out there. And maybe you're saying, why are you picking on Joel? Why are you hearing all these things and all these clips about Joel? And one of the main reasons, let's be honest, we're talking about 40,000 people in attendance on a Sunday at his church.
Biggest church in America, yeah.
Biggest church in America. And for you baseball fans, most teams don't get that many people at their games. In fact, I don't believe that the Tampa Bay Rays in Florida were able to get that kind of attendance at the World Series, okay? So we're talking about this is every single Sunday that people are sitting
in
there.
Not to mention the potentially millions that watch by television.
Yeah, amen. I mean, just a number of people. So we're going to go back to a text that we already hit on a couple of times, but this is a text. And guys, if you're in pastoral ministry, if you're in any ministry, and you know what, guess what? If you're a believer in Christ, these are things that you need to be meditating on and thinking about. And you also, just like we're going to test Joe through this because he's the pastor at our fellowship, and you should be testing, hey, does my pastor meet these requirements of a pastoral ministry?
Or the elders in the fellowship.
Or the elders.
The pastor, yeah.
Yeah, amen. Or the elders in the fellowship.
And by the way, before you read that, yeah. I think just for the edification of our, you know, brethren, as he reads that, keep in mind, Paul is, he's describing a mature man of God. Amen. So it's important. I think it's really wise for brothers in the Lord, you know, to read the text and realize and say, hey, this person is qualified to be a leader because they have godly Christian characters in their lives, and they've just matured. And we're all these what's on this list is what we should all aspire to be, except for maybe the gift of teaching, which is there's various different gifts. Although all men of God should be teaching on some level, whether it's by way of example or teaching their children. But what I'm saying is, some people look at this as this exclusive list that has to do with just overseers. But this is a list that sees those who are qualified because they're men of God who are mature and can help lead the church.
Amen. And Paul actually admonishes the church and says, hey, many of you should be teaching, but you're not. Yeah, I'm having to still feed you
milk.
You're
not already being teachers, but you're still milk, right?
So it's really important. Still babes in Christ. And when nobody should want to be that, right? You shouldn't, as a believer, want to be the person that's sitting there with binkies and babas when you show up to church on Sunday. You want to make sure you're in the Word every
day. Get beyond John 3:16.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's get all of our doctrines of Scripture and look at the oracles of God and benefit from them, because as husbands, you're supposed to wash your wives in the Word. Your one wife, by the way. You're supposed to wash your one wife.
Which is one of the requirements, one wife. That's right.
One of the requirements. And it's really important because we see the cleansing power of the gospel and the cleansing power of God's Word in our lives, writing it on our heart that we may not sin against Him and those things. But we could talk about that for a whole nother show. But we're going to get right back to it. So the biblical requirements that Paul had told Titus, hey, I want you to appoint elders. These are what they're supposed to look like. And verse 9 is what we're going to talk about real quick before we play a clip, another clip from Joel Osteen. Verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching. And as Joe mentioned in the last episode, according to the apostles' teaching, according to the teaching of Scripture. So that he will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine, teach in sound doctrine, and to refute those who contradict. So, Tony, with that, let's play that clip and let's see if Joel Osteen's doing that here.
And I got to ask you the question, because it is a question, whether it should be or not in this campaign, is a Mormon a true Christian?
Well, in my mind, they are. Mitt Romney has said that he believes in Christ as his Savior, and that's what I believe. So, you know, I'm not the one to judge the little details of it. So I believe they are. And so, Mitt Romney seems like a man of character and integrity to me. And I don't think anything would stop me from voting for him if that's what I felt like. So,
well, you know, regardless of the voting issue.
If you had heart problems, I need heart medicine right now, man, after hearing that.
But the little details, and once again, this is the blind leading the blind, but I mean, come on here. We're not talking about, hey, you know, you may be Baptist or Presbyterian or, you know, do you regard this? We're talking about Mormonism. We're talking about another gospel, Joe. So would you consider Mormonism as brothers in Christ?
You know, it's funny you say that. He's talking about little details. We're talking about Joseph Smith, who claimed to be a prophet, claimed to have, you know, been given golden plates, you know, that were basically, you know, inscribed by, you know, people in the Americas and hidden and got the Book of Mormon. We're talking about a man who teaches a totally different gospel. Little details, a different Jesus. Paul said in Galatians 1:6, I believe verse 6, he says, I marvel that you're so quickly removed from him who has called you in the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is really not another. Then he says in verses 7 and 8, he talks about that if anyone preaches another gospel to you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. Anathema is the Greek. Some translations, a couple I've seen, you know, basically I've sent to hell. It means to be cursed, though, literally. And he warns about this different gospel. And in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul warns that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. And he says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds might be corrupted from your simple devotion to Christ, that you might believe in a different Jesus, that you might receive a different spirit, they might believe in a different gospel. Then he goes on to talk about how Satan's ministers, it's no wonder, for they transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, and we according to their deeds. I think that's around verses 12, 13, 14 area, into maybe verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 11. And what's interesting, when he says, I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety. How did the serpent beguile Eve? What did he tell her she could be?
A god.
A god.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what Mormonism teaches. And then this you can be God teaching would come with a different Jesus, a different gospel, Paul says. And in the form of Mormonism, it comes with a different Jesus.
Spirit brother of Lucifer, right?
That's right. They teach he's, you know, in the incarnation of Christ in the spirit world before humans, became, you know, flesh, that we basically were in the spirit world as angels, and the third that fell were basically, you know, became the demons, but others became humans, and that Christ had a better plan than Lucifer. They both submitted their plan to the Father and their brothers and so forth. And the Bible doesn't say Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. In fact, the scriptures say that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the same was beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and nothing that was made but by him. He made everything. In fact, in Colossians 1, it says he created all principalities and powers. Satan's a principality. He's a power. He was created by Jesus. He's not his brother. So when Joel Osteen says, just so sad, because millions probably heard that show, or plenty of people, hundreds and hundreds of thousands at least, he's teaching them that basically, and if you're a Mormon listening, is he loving Mormons by, he's just being so kind to the Mormons. No, he's patting them on the back saying you're going to heaven. When they need to get right with the right Jesus. They have a different gospel. You know, the gospel that we preach, you know, teaches, you know, that salvation is by grace through faith and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Kurios, the Yahweh of the Old Testament, you know, the creator of all things, the creator of Lucifer, not his spirit brother. So we have a lot of serious false teachings right there. And so, you know, Chad, when we bring up that teaching and him basically considering Mormonism part of Christianity, and we're told that a leader must be able to refute false teachers because they're upsetting whole households. I mean, Mormons are going door to door, bringing people under a false gospel, to different Jesus, and he should be upholding the truth. And it's tough at times as a pastor because you're in situations where, you know, people are going to frown on you, or you're going to look, you know, obnoxious or unloving maybe because you have to take a stand. But the Lord looks at our hearts and he weighs all things. And I remember going to a movie premiere of a Christian movie by, you know, a pretty prominent professing Christian leader. And he invited a lot of pastors. And I know this gentleman, and I was invited. My wife came along with me, and there were a bunch of tables at a pretty big church, and several tables, and there were like 10 of us at each table, mostly pastors and their wives, to watch this premiere. And they had like a chicken dinner and stuff, and we went and sat at our table. I knew a couple of the pastors there, right from here in town, although this was another town. And to break the silence, as we were sitting down, we were just getting comfortable, and a lady says, "Hey, my husband and I want to introduce ourselves." And she's just bright, big smile. "You know, we belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we're so happy that we can join together and be one with you guys and watch this together."
Get behind me, Satan.
And yeah, part of me was like, what in the world, man? And who invited Lord them? Help. And was it an oversight? Or, you know, right away it made me get had a massive check about the movie, and who, you know, but that could have been, you know, maybe they just snuck in the back door. I don't know. So I was sitting right next to her, and I'm like, and there was silence. And of course, now I have a choice to make. Amen. And I just said, you know, and I have to, it probably didn't roll out the smoothest, you know, because I maybe could have said a few words before that. But I said, "Hey, I say this to you in love, but I say, I want to know, does Joseph Smith still teach that all of Christian teaching is an abomination to God, and that all the Christian clergy, their leaders, are false?" And that's basically, look at Doctrine and Covenants. It teaches that Joseph Smith, you know, went to pray what church to join. He prayed for wisdom, and the Lord supposedly appeared to him and revealed to him that all the Christian doctrines were an abomination to God, and all their Christian leaders are corrupt. I said, "You guys still hold that?" And I knew they did, you know, but I know that they put a new face on Mormonism.
Of course.
Where they're trying to act, you know, their stick before was to basically say, "Hey, we're the one true church. You've got to leave where you're at. Join us." A lot of people started to study Mormonism, and now they try to act like a denomination almost. So I asked her that just point blank. I mean, it was pretty much the first words that came to my mouth. I said, "I just tell you this in love." And then I said, "Does Joseph Smith still teach that all Christian doctors are abomination, all their teachers are corrupt?" And she looked at me and didn't know what to say. And she said, "I never heard that." That's basic. When the Mormons come to your door and they bring you through their pages, that's basically what they teach you. And then all of a sudden it was, you know, time to go grab your food. We all get up, and then we come back to our seats, and then she's like one seat over. She put her husband between the two of us, and then I began to testify to him, you know, and share with him. And we had a good chat. He gave me his card, and it was a public relations officer for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I discussed, "Hey, I was talking to your wife. I just brought it back up again, you know." He had no answers. But as a pastor, and I'm not saying every pastor needs to know everything about every cult, okay? I will say this. When you look at the early church, Paul was very conversant with what others taught. You look at Irenaeus, man. You read Against Heresies. It's like this guy knew what all the different Gnostics were teaching better than most of the Gnostics, probably, most of their initiates at the lower levels, at least. And quite amazing. So I'm not saying you have to know all those things, but you better know what the Word of God teaches. You better know the basics of the cults. And he's very aware that they're considered a cult. Well, he has to ask the question, why? But if you're a pastor, you're supposed to be helping people through these situations. You're going to meet Mormons. I mean, I was the Sunday before last, I had a gal come to the fellowship named Janice with her friend, and they came to me, and then I never met her before, and I've seen the guy about 10, 12 years ago or so that she was with. They came up and he said, "Hey, you know, my friend, she's Jehovah's Witness, you know, and she doesn't believe in Christian doctrine, but I'm trying to get her to open up her heart, you know, to see truth, you know." And I took them in my office. I don't spend time with women alone. I said, "If I can talk to both of you," I spent the next hour and a half. That was taco fundraiser for Mexico Day. That's why you guys didn't see me. We went in there and we just began to go through Watchtower teaching. Now we'll go through all the different teachings we went through. That would be for another time. And maybe we'll have Janice on, because at the end of the talk, I asked her if she wanted to turn to Christ and surrender her life to him, you know, and put her faith in Jesus. And she said she did. And we prayed right there. She came to Christ. It was a few weeks ago. I saw her
last night.
She was at the church. She looks like Linda Witt, right? Her hair
yes,
and everything.
Yeah, she threw me off.
She came to me. Everybody's saying, "I look like this girl named Linda," you know. And I just praise the Lord that, you know, she's following Jesus now. And guess what? If I didn't know Mormons was a cult, or in her case, you know, the Watchtower teaches cultic doctrine. Because she first thing she said to me is, I don't believe in the Trinity, you know. I and then we went through the Trinity, went through Jesus being God, went through the next hour and 20 minutes of, you know, and I kept, she knew I knew what they believed. I went through a lot of what they believed. Here's what the scriptures say. And now, I mean, even at the very end of that talk, I didn't know she was going to come to Christ. Because at the end of the talk, she says, well, who then is the, aren't the Jehovah's Witnesses a faithful and discreet slave? Because Peter says he's the faithful and, you know, sensible steward. And he's talking to the apostles, obviously, and he's telling them that they better be ready and doing his will when the Father comes, or when Jesus comes, right? And then he says, if that faithful servant says in my heart, the Lord delays his coming, and begins to beat the maidservants, get drunk with drunkards, I go, look, that can't be speaking of the church as a whole, faithful and discreet servant. I go, it's impossible, because that's talking about the whole church committing apostasy at once, and there's no more church. And she understood the context then, but we got to pray together, and you know what? If I didn't study and know and understand what different cultic groups teach, I wouldn't be able to obey that scripture that says to refute them, in Titus 1:9 that you start off with, Chad. And I certainly wouldn't be able to rescue her either. And I wouldn't be able to protect others from teaching that would be brought in by false teachers. So it's imperative that we know the truth if we're going to snatch people out of the fire and bring people to Christ, and if we're going to protect the flock from being led astray.
You know, it's sad because how bold was she to talk to a pastor, come out and say, I don't believe the Trinity, right? How... Sadly, I hate saying it, but it's true. How many Christians would be so bold? People that have the truth.
Yeah.
Like, that just, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and the Mormon lady, hey, you know, I'm da-da-da. She's just shouting it from the rooftop, the other thing. And we have to speak up. There, you know, Walter Martin used to say, you know, or his program, they kind of sign off, we do for the truth what the cults do for a lie.
Amen. And it's so sad because I want to go to 2 Timothy 4 now, because I believe it's really important, and I think the backdrop to 2 Timothy 4 is 2 Timothy 3:16.
Yeah.
Because it's all a scripture. Verse that typically you're speaking about Mormons, and I know that we're going to have to do a full four-part series on Mormonism for sure.
And on the Watchtower, amen.
And on the Watchtower, because we care about them, and we care about sharing the truth. And I'll tell you personally, one of my favorite things to do is share the gospel with Mormons, share the gospel with J-Dubs.
Amen.
Because guess what?
They're coming to my door. I used to chase them down the street, man.
That's my biggest problem. They used to be like, oh, I have an appointment. Now they're like, go to JW.org. I'm out of here, you know? So we got to find ways to get in the gospel. But if they're knocking on my door, and they're taking up part of my day, I'm going to make sure they hear the gospel before they leave, even if I got to
scream
it.
Hey, when they visit your church, you better not pass that opportunity.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. But in 2 Timothy 3:16, I usually start here with Mormons, especially comparing God's word versus the falsities of another gospel, which it literally says, another testament, on the very front of the Book of Mormon. But it's all scripture is inspired, or theanoustos, a God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now let's get to what's Paul going to do to set in 2 Timothy.
The very next verses, right?
I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. Guys, when he says this, it's serious, okay? When he says this, let's take account to that and say, wait a second. He's about to say something really, really, really important. Who is God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. What is he solemnly charging us to do? Preach the word, be ready in of season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And why should we do that? Because you just heard Joel Osteen do exactly what we're going to be talking about right here. For the time will come when they will not endure, they won't even put up with, sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths.
That's where we're at today.
It really is. And I mean, you could bring up Joel Osteen. You could bring up so many different teachers. And like we said, we're using this as the backdrop of our testing. We're saying, hey, here's some of the stuff that's going out here. This is the biggest church in America, and it's a representation of a number of false churches, and this is why we are where we are.
Yeah, if there was ever a teaching that would tickle your ears as a man, you look at Mormonism when it rose. Same lie that was in Eden. You shall be as God. Talk about it, you know, stroking someone's ego. You could be God. That's a huge lie. Mormons are taught that you could have many, many wives. Could be sanctioned by God. So man can be told, hey, you know what? Sign on the dotted line, man. And you could become God and you could have all these different wives. And also, guess what? You can be a racist. You know, you can, and these guys already had a problem with, you know, racism, many of them. And also it sanctioned racism because they were told that, you know, blacks would never enter the priesthood, that they had the mark of Cain, that they were inferior, and so forth. And, you know, I've read it. I have Journal of Discourses. It's 20-some volumes long. I've had ex-Mormons from Jesus trying to buy it from me in the past, but I've used it to great effect. I remember we had we showed God Makers 2, and a really neat black gentleman came to Christ after the episode, but I started spending time in scripture with him. He came to Jesus and received the Lord, and I was able to use the Journal of Discourses and show him within Journal of Discourses, where page 50, volume 1, you know, that Adam was the only God with whom we have to do, that Adam brought one of his wives from heaven into Eden, you know, and he was not begotten. This is Brigham Young, their second most popular prophet. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. Scriptures say in Matthew chapter 3 that he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. And then Brigham Young says, right after he says he was not begotten by the Holy Ghost, but by a man, he goes on to say, because he's saying Adam had sex with, or God as Adam had sex with Mary, basically, the same way he did with Eve. Just total blasphemy. And he says, if you disagree with what I'm saying, you'll either prove your damnation or you won't. In other words, don't you dare disagree with me. These are authoritarian, dictator, cultic type teachers, diminishing the word of God. The word of God isn't, you know, as you read all scriptures inspired, how did they get away from the scripture? They basically say, well, it's only translated when it matches what we, it's like saying the original $100 bills versus counterfeit ones. You don't want to look at the original. The original must be off based on my counterfeit, you know. It's just a ridiculous lie. But what we have here is false teachers who are preying on lost people and then also preying on saved people. And they're tickling their ears by saying, for Mormonism, you can become God. You can, you know, have many wives. And guess what? You can also look down on black people. And it's just wicked.
Now, Brigham Young, you know, and I pointed this out to the Mormons who stopped by my house not too long ago. And as you said, you were talking to a black man, you know, Brigham Young in volume 10, 110, he says that if a person of the chosen race slept with a person of the unchosen race, they shall be both put to death.
Yeah.
And, oh, well, that was just for that time. No, it should be a statute for all generations. But this isn't a teaching on Mormonism. But I want to talk about something practically and talk about from a personal testimonial of having a pastor who adheres to this and how it can affect you. And I actually was having this conversation last night with someone else who's been in the congregation for a long time. And verse 5, it says, "But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And I believe that a lot of pastors aren't fulfilling their ministry because they aren't doing this. And I can tell you this from my personal testimony. I came to Christ January 19th, 2009, and I went to my first church service that following Sunday. And after that, being discipled here, one of the first things I did as a congregation, being involved in the fellowship, was go out with Pastor Joe. It was go out to the streets of Santa Monica and share the gospel. I didn't know I was going to share the gospel. I knew that they were going to, and I was just going to watch. But then guess what happened? I could not help but speak of the things that I have seen and I have
Amen.
Heard. I could not help but talk about the Jesus that came into my life and made me a new creation. And because of the adherence of this scripture, because of the adherence of doing the work of an evangelist, it, guess what it did to me? It showed me that's how I'm supposed to walk. Just as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I'm telling you this just from personal testimony, going out to dinner with Joe and myself, I'm telling you, typically the waiter or waitress, if they have any time, and even when they don't usually, they're going to hear the gospel. And by the way, this is just something on the side. Make sure if you're going to share the gospel with your waiter and waitress that you tip well. Okay, don't be the guy who leaves a Bible tract
Amen.
And then doesn't leave them any money. And as that comes as a former non-believer and a former server as well. But
not surfer, server.
No, server, yeah. A server, yeah. They got away from the waiter-waitress thing. But as a former waiter, 100% make sure you leave a good tip because you are leaving an example and we want to do better anyways. But totally side issue, guys. It is really important. And if you're you're desiring, as it says, if you're desiring to have the job as an overseer, then know that even though you have in the vocation, guys, Ephesians 4, one of the things it talks about before it talks about pastors and teachers and evangelists being there in ministry is the supremacy of Christ, and that ultimately he is the one who has put them there. And not only is he is the one who's put them there, he's put them there for a purpose, that you wouldn't be tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine, and that they would encourage you to be mature and have good works. One of the jobs of the pastoral ministry is that they would be a good enough example in fulfilling what? All these doctrines and saying, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to be the husband of one wife. I'm going to show that I love my wife. I'm going to be somebody who is not pugnacious. I'm going to be someone who's not addicted to much wine. I'm going to be someone who knows the doctrine, and I'm going to do the work of an evangelist. And this is under the same context of Paul saying he solemnly charged him in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. I think it's really important, Joe. So I had to, I know flattery is
funny,
sin, but
it's funny you said that because, my heart's always been to do the work of an evangelist, but being called to pastoral ministry, you don't have to have the gift of evangelism to evangelize. And there are God's given apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. You don't have to have the gift of mercy, but we're still called to show mercy. It's funny you mentioned the tips because we want to be a good example. Last night we had an elders meeting and went kind of late. I mentioned in the last show. We stayed till 11:30. Chili's closes at 10:30. And they just endure us, you know, we just, you know, in a group. And I know the people there very well, the waitresses and stuff. Just became good friends with them through the years. I do so much counseling there. You know, they probably heard some strange things, you know. And we're leaving around 11:30 or so, between 11:30, 12 or whatever it was. And it's funny because I heard the chatter slow down. So I realized the workers weren't talking anymore, cleaning up. And there was just, so I said, hey, why don't we stand out front? And then we went out there and prayed in the front. But as we're walking out, we already gave our tip and everything. But I saw the lady that was sitting there in the at the bar, young, maybe probably 45 or so. And I thought, you know what? She's endured us because we've probably talked for a few minutes beyond that. And they have things to do. They'll come and let you know. That we have a understanding when they say, hey, you got to go. They'll just say, hey, it's that time, you know. And I try to always get up before it's that time, you know. So I just went over there and just put a $5 bill there and said, hey, thanks a lot. She had nothing to do with serving us, but I just wanted her, I'm sure she hears us talking about the Lord. I wanted her to get $5 extra bucks. No, not a lot of money, but just say, hey, thanks a lot. She's like, oh, thank you, you know. So we want to go the extra mile, you know, and we may not have $5 extra bucks, you know. We usually do it, the elders meet in our offices, but in Southern California, we got, as you know, Tony, we have the fan on our in back of us because the air conditioning is down, and I just preach, man, and the water's just beating down. It's just, I sat down, I go, guys, let's go to Chili's to do our elders meeting. But you guys, let's just keep loving the Lord. Let's just keep loving people. Let's keep shining the light. Let's keep lifting up the name of Jesus, and let's, at the same time, let's know the word so we can refute those who would teach a different Jesus and a different gospel.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.